Good morning and welcome to worship here at the table on this first Sunday in May. We are so grateful to gather together both in person and online. We're going to move together right in to worship. Our musicians are going to help us. I want to invite those that are here in person or those gathering online to stand as you're willing and able. We are going to open worship together, and I invite you to move your bodies and to share in song together. This is a Sam Cooke arrangement of This Little Light of Mine.
Amen. 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 Sing over. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. To show my love, I gotta tell you, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, even in my home, help me sing it out. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The deep, beloved. God moves in particulars. Rhythm makes music. Thank you.
Yes, we will be heard. Let's form a great salvation through harmony and sound. We'll know the shape of progress like nature's always round. Like nature's always round. We are moving in wider circles.
Don't need a mic. Good morning. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Avery Baker, and I serve as both the Sunday morning coordinator here and also as co-farm lead at Table Farm. And today is my Welcome and Next Steps debut. So, yes. So please don't be too hard on me. Oh, perfect timing. Hi, Mama. Hey, Auntie. Welcome. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday mornings, both in person and online. This morning, we will continue in a worship series we are calling The Art of Gathering as Practicing Resurrection. Throughout the 50 days of the Easter season, we're journeying with John's Gospel, as we practice resurrection through the lens of a book called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. It's Priya, correct? All right, there we go. As a community, we grow in faith in weekly kitchen tables, small groups which are the heartbeat of our community of faith. Each week, we gather to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God and loving our neighbors, and also search scripture together with others. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith to help newcomers move into these small groups. And if you would like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice our faith here at the table, we encourage you to register today for our next Growing in Faith series, which will be held online beginning Tuesday evening, May 31st. Yes, right there on the screen. Our children grow in faith with an outdoor version of godly play. This is held at 9:30 on each Sunday morning, and we have loving childcare at 11 o'clock outside also every Sunday morning. And speaking of godly play, one of our godly play assistants, Eleanor, decided that it would be a good idea to bring donuts to worship this morning. So for our younger friends, and that includes myself, I'm one of our younger friends. If you'd like to help yourself to some donuts outside, there. And if you wouldn't, that's okay. I'm sure I can find something to do with it after worship today. As a community of faith, we reach and love in many ways. And so we encourage you to join a community volunteer shift out at Table Farm on Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Please note that we do have some new farm hours. Tuesdays will be from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Fridays will be 7:30 a.m., Friday morning, 7:30 to 9, and then Saturday morning from 8 to 11. And you can find out more information at thetable.farm. A note for those of us who are gathering online at thetable.live, Chloe and Molly are there with you as hosts, and so if you have any questions or if you need any assistance with that, please message them directly or share in the chat. And when you feel ready, we encourage you to sign in and to find a virtual seat in order to connect with others that are experiencing worship online, much like Zoom. Right, and so now I invite one of our members of the ad board who will share with us some good news and has an invitation for us. So I invite Ansel, who is our board chair, to come on up and share a little bit more.
Thank you, Avery. Great job.
Thank you.
Debut. Inaugural address. So, well done. As Avery mentioned, I'm Ansel Lundberg. I'm the chair of the Tables Administrative Board. And I'm just going to share an opportunity to gather as a community in the coming weeks here and then share some good news. So, you may have seen a video of me a couple weeks ago sharing similar information. And then you heard from Derek and Nancy last week, who are also members of our board. So we just wanted to share, you know, we have been discussing as a board, as a church, we practice faith together, we're rooted in grace, we grow in faith, and we reach in love. And with those values in mind, we've been talking about sort of this conversation about our global denomination, the United Methodist Church, which is in flux right now, and we wanted to have a conversation with the broader community about what that means for us and how we as a church community at the table can fit into that. So I think our denomination is experiencing some upheaval, membership is declining, financial health is challenged, and there's a rift over God's call for inclusive community as a church. And so, you know, the denomination is characterized by these administrative practices that are rooted in centuries-old hierarchical systems, and they're straining to adapt to our changing context. So, with these dynamics, we wanted to get together again and discuss these challenges and what we can do to grow together in the face of these. And so we are hosting a series of salon gatherings at the Table Farm in the coming weeks and online. And we're excited to get folks together and share a meal and discuss our values and discuss our future as a community. So our first gathering will be tonight, and I'm hosting one of those gatherings. I'm very excited. I believe tonight's is full. But we have two more coming up in the middle two weekends of May. And if you can't make it in person, you can join online at thetable.live. And we're excited about getting together. And you can go on the church website and sign up there. That will be the easiest way to get all the information you need about the timing, but it'll be on Sunday evenings. So with that, I also have an exciting announcement. We are thrilled to share some good news, which Chloe received earlier this week, and it's regarding a grant application for Table Farm and Table Bread. So our grant request was made to the Committee on New and Vital Congregations, which coordinates the UMC's efforts to create new ministries in the region. And so this week we did learn that our full grant request for $130,000 has been formally approved. So, very exciting. As someone who's been working with Chloe and others on this project of the Table Farm and Table Bread for a couple years now, it's really encouraging to hear that news, and we're just excited about how that's going to let us transform that ministry and reach in love together as a community. So we're very grateful and thrilled to see how this funding will deepen our capacity to join with God's healing spirit as we continue to rethink church by tending to both soil and souls at the farm and beginning to bake bread soon as we do work on the kitchen in this building. So thank you so much, and back to Avery.
Thank you, Ansel. One last note that I'd like to add. In between services today, there's a table out there. It's called the Next Steps Table, and there's a couple of clipboards available if you would like to sign up and or learn more about hospitality. Some of the people that you see around here that are wearing the very cool lanyards, we are part of the hospitality team. So after service today, you could get more information out there. Now, we will move into another song as our music team will talk a little bit about some strength, courage, and wisdom.
Thank you. much too long, cause I've been too afraid to let it show, cause I'm scared of the judgment that may follow. Always good enough for living for tomorrow. Step out on faith, I gotta show my faith. It's been elusive for so long, but freedom is mine today. I gotta step out on faith, it's time to show my faith. Procrastination had me down, but look what I have found.
Courage and wisdom,
it's been inside of me all along.
Strength, courage and wisdom,
inside of me. My pride there lives in me. Inside my voice there is a soul, and in my soul there is a voice. But I've been too afraid to make a choice, cause I'm scared of the things that I might be missing. Running too fast to stop and listen. It's time to step out on faith, I gotta show my faith. It's been elusive for so long, freedom is mine today. I gotta step out on faith, I gotta show my faith. Procrastination had me down, but look what I have found. I found
strength, courage, and wisdom.
It's been inside of me all along.
Strength, courage, and wisdom
inside. Things that I want to see, cause I know now that I've opened up my heart, I know that anything I want can be.
So let it be,
so let it be,
so let it be,
so let it be,
so let it be.
Amen, indeed. My name is Matt Smith, and I'm one of the co-pastors here at the table along with Linda Duhirsu, and we're going to invite our children now to make their way. Peter is here with us, and Justine as well. We are going to move outside, and Anthony's going to play that trumpet. Uh-huh. It is such a gift to have Anthony Coleman back in town with us from New Orleans for this time. Our children will make their way with Peter and Justine as they gather together for godly play and to wonder together about God's love and Spirit moving in the world. And we'll turn now to our reading this morning from chapter 21 in the Gospel of John. We encourage you to either follow along, whether that happens to be on a screen or it happens to be in an actual Bible that you brought with you or the screen that's here before us. Our reading this morning is from the New Revised Standard Version, as it's recorded there in John 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. I'm just going to keep going. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me."
Biblical scholars mostly agree that the Gospel of John doesn't end once, but it ends twice. Last week, we heard the first ending. The disciples were gathered in fear behind locked doors when Jesus appeared to them and gave them peace. Thomas missed that first meeting, as Molly shared with all of us. He'd had enough of that. But he was there for the second. And became a model for all of us in his moving encounter with the risen one who met him in the midst of his doubts and questions. And John wrapped it all up like this in chapter 20. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Seems like a great ending to me, but it wasn't. John has two more stories to share. And I don't know why this should actually surprise any of us, though, because for the most part, we human beings are not so great at endings. We're way better at beginnings when everything is still new and exciting. It is way more fun to add the Weight Watchers app back into my phone and figure out how it works, because they've upgraded it yet again, than it is to track my food and water and daily activity every single day. Choosing yarn and winding it to cast on my new project is way more fun than weaving in the ends and blocking it. I think it's fair to say that most of us love hellos more than goodbyes. Still, we all have to learn how to end things, and it's not easy. And it was pretty hard for me and Pastor Matt in the first year of the table, especially when it came to kitchen tables. Kitchen tables are our small groups which meet most days of the week, and we gather to watch over one another in love as we ask, how is it with your soul? How are you staying in love with God? Have you done some harm this week? What is that? Have you done some good this week? What is that? And then we search scripture with one another. In the beginning, we had one group, and we were fairly certain that it was working pretty well. When it grew to about 12 people, we split it in two, and I led one and Matt led the other, and we thought that worked pretty okay. At some point in the first few months of this, though, Matt's brother Tyler came for a visit. Tyler is a great support to our ministry and to our whole community of faith, actually, and he's probably listening right now, so hey, Tyler. But he lives in Missouri, and so we rarely get to see him. But Tyler came out for a visit, and Matt and I welcomed him, and then Matt welcomed him even more so into his kitchen table. And we were really proud of how far we had come and all that we were doing, and Tyler joined in. And afterwards, he and Matt had time to talk. Matt's the big brother, by the way, so it isn't easy to say hard things sometimes, especially when it's to your big brother. But Tyler was brave, and my memory is he said something like this: you have a great group of people, y'all. And your kitchen table idea is solid, y'all. But I felt really uncomfortable joining it. Those people are deep. They shared really deep stuff. I never even met them before. I really would not want to come back to that. We were crushed. It was really hard to hear. So we thought about it. We probably argued about it. We consulted then with the people from our recovery community who meet upstairs, long-term experience with 12-step groups. And some of their groups are open to everyone, whoever shows up, and some are closed to specific people working on specific steps or specific goals. Recovery based in the big blue book of AA has been around a very long time, and so by our account, it was pretty successful. So it seemed like a good model. So we tried that. Matt led groups in the community at Hoppy Brew Pub, used to be on Folsom. I was at Old Soul 40 Acres. Both of our kitchen tables were open to any and all who would choose to attend. A few folks then also had begun leading groups either here at the table or in their homes. Those kitchen tables were only for people who were part of our community and had gone through growing in faith. We called it something different then. The open groups floundered. the closed groups grew. Finally, as most of you now know, we decided that in order to participate in a kitchen table, first we would require 6 weeks in our growing in faith. Then we would invite you into a kitchen table when you felt ready to try it for at least around 6 weeks or more. This move, as I describe it, was one of the harder moves we have ever made in all of our 12 years. In the second chapter of her book, Why We Gather, Priya Parker writes this: inviting people is easy, excluding people can be hard. The more the merrier, we are told from childhood, the more souls, the more joy, the Dutch say, the more fools there are, the more we laugh, the French declare. I like that. At the risk of dissenting from millennia of advice along these lines, let me say this. You will have begun to gather with purpose when you learn to exclude with purpose, when you learn to close doors. I make no pleasure in exclusion, and I often violate my own rule, but thoughtful, considered exclusion is vital to any gathering because over-inclusion is a symptom of deeper problems. Above all, a confusion about why you are gathering and a lack of commitment to your purpose and to your guests. The purpose of our kitchen tables is soul sharing. Our kitchen tables are made up of people who are committed to showing up on a weekly basis, and they are not open to others. Our journey from confusion to clarity about this, as I said, didn't happen overnight. We tried many different strategies that always included groups that were open to anyone who would show up, whether they had been through growing in faith or not. It just seemed like the right thing to do. But it wasn't. It took time then for us to name our own confusion. And when I say it took time, I mean years. Sleepless nights, wondering, are we even on the right track? At that time, we had not yet written our own book, Growing in Faith. We were using a different resource. Our groups actually became too big. Often, we were having 10 to 12 people gather. We really had confidence, though, in the questions we were asking. But often, a new person would show up, and we would include them. How is it with your soul, we would ask. How have you done some harm? How have you done good? How have you stayed in love with God? They rarely returned. Worse, it seemed like the depth of our sharing in those groups became little by little increasingly more shallow. Even our starting and ending times became loose, right? Because of the new people and all of the explaining and all of the onboarding and introducing required to welcome them. It was confusing because we really believed in the Wesleyan process of growing in faith in small groups, and we thought we were doing our very best by letting anyone and everyone attend our gatherings. So in part, I think this is really why I have a heart for this second ending of the Gospel of John. And I don't know about you, but it helps me to hear about those who were the closest to the risen one being genuinely confused. It helps me to witness them turning back from Jerusalem and going home, home to Galilee to what they once knew, fishing. Not all of them, of course. There were only seven. You heard Matt read about that, which may be another indicator of how they were already losing their way. Barbara Brown Taylor writes about it like this: these seven decide to go fishing, and that makes a lot of sense. They do not fish for pleasure. They fish for a living. They do not fish with lines and hooks. They fish with big, heavy nets, hauling them out of the bottom of the boat with hands that are calloused from years and years of casting and knotting and straining against the ropes. So when they decide to go fishing, it's not a decision to daydream, but a decision to return to their former way of life, to go back to the only thing they know how to do without him, meaning Jesus. And so they fish all night and they catch what? Nothing. And they're confused. And I would also assume they're disappointed. And their sense of failure at fishing must bring up all of the feelings of the way their whole mission had failed only a few Friday nights ago, right? There'd been that appearance at the tomb, but it was just a woman. And it turned out to be a gardener, so you can't place any trust in her story. Turns out they are all still on a journey of discovery. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? In her book, Why We Gather, Priya Parker tells a great story of discovery in her journey. She was part of a group of six women who met in a local park twice a week at dawn with a trainer. They were exercising. The group was going strong, often actually the highlight of their days, she writes. Exercise and relationship building is what they did until one of their members decided to go on vacation. They had all prepaid the trainer, right? So going on vacation meant that this one friend, she would, in essence, lose her money for the time she was away. But she had a better idea and wrote an email to the whole group and introduced them in this email to her friend, who would substitute for her while she was on vacation. And the others were surprised and uncomfortable, and they didn't know why. Here was their confusion, she said. Even though they'd been friends for some time and had been working out together for many, many weeks, they had never discussed the purpose of their group. The undiscussed but shared understanding of their gathering, though, was to spend time with friends while exercising. It was a hangout that used the convening mechanism of exercise, not an exercise class that happened to be attended by friends. Hear the difference in that? They were a group of people with busy lives who wanted to find a regular, reliable way of reconnecting with specific other people that they had chosen. But no one, including her, wanted to make the hard decision to speak up about this and make their purpose clear. We heard Natalie sing India Ari's lyrics. Behind my pride, there lives a me that knows humility. Inside my voice, there is a soul, and in my soul, there is a voice, but I've been too afraid to make a choice because I'm scared of the things I might be missing. John tells us that while the disciples are out fishing at night and catching a whole lot of nothing, and by the way, it isn't an accident that they are night fishing. In the Gospel of John, the cover of darkness symbolized unbelief, and daylight or light, dawn, is the realm of belief. So just hold on to that. They heard a voice calling from the shore, and the voice said, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. And it was then that they recognized the risen one watching over them. And please don't ask me why Peter was naked and put clothes on and decided to jump into the water. I have no idea, but Matt has a whole sermon on that and he's dying over there because I'm not putting that in. True. I know. Closing that door. When they came ashore, they shared a breakfast of fish and bread cooked over a beautiful charcoal fire as the dawn is breaking. The only other time charcoal fire is mentioned in the gospel is during Peter's denial by the garden gate. And in the synoptic gospels, Peter's asked if he knows Jesus. Do you know him? But in John's gospel, it's Peter's discipleship that is under question. The woman asked Peter, "Aren't you one of the disciples?" "No, I am not." But in our passage this morning, it's the risen one, not a woman at the gate, who's asking Peter, "Do you love me?" It's about his discipleship. Barbara Brown Taylor again. "It's a dream, all right, only a dream too good not to be true. He's not serving them supper this time. That was the last meal of their old life together. This is the first meal of their new life together. A resurrection breakfast prepared by the only one who knows the recipe." Peter and the others need to recover their habits of discipleship that they practiced for 3 years on the way with Jesus. Regular experiences of God intruding on their ordinary lives, followed by lengthy discussions about seeing the difference God's grace makes in the lives of people who encounter acts of love and kindness up close, and personal ministry. That's what they had been doing. Theologian Matthew Meyer Bolton says it like this: "It's one of Jesus' signature moves, just as he took one of the worst things in the world, the Roman cross, and turned it into one of the best things in the world, the tree of life. So now he recruits the worst disciple in the world, deserter in chief, to feed his sheep." There is a lot of Peter in all of us, and Pastor Matt and I are no exception. Priya Parker and her group eventually decided they would not allow substitutions in the group because a stranger might damage the intimacy and people's willingness to share. Our decision to have kitchen tables that are closed to people who have not gone through growing in faith was made along those same lines. To be clear, the way from confusion to clarity of purpose can be difficult. And frankly, that's why so many gatherings ultimately fail. And Priya Parker shares it like this in her book: "That's why so many of our gatherings end up being hijacked in the name of politeness." I really want people to hear that. But here's what the skilled gatherer must know, friends. In trying not to offend, you fail to protect the gathering itself and the people who are in it. Barack Obama's aunt once told him, "If everyone is family, no one is family." The corollary is that if everyone is invited, no one is invited. By closing the door, you create the room. The challenge is real. Being a disciple alongside Jesus is one thing, but being an apostle is another. In case you don't know, there's a big difference. Because apostles are sent forth into the unknown to tend Jesus' sheep. This alone means that they have to close doors from where they are in order to move towards where they are being sent. It's scary work to say, "I am," instead of "I am not." And many will draw back. Many will retreat, returning to what we know, letting down, pulling up the old empty nets. But thankfully, Jesus doesn't let us go. And maybe that's why the gospel writer included the second ending after all, because it's full of clues for all of us for those times we feel we have come to the end of something and we don't know what the next step is going to be. Count on this. The risen one is forever luring us forward, filling our nets, and cooking us breakfast on the beach. Amen. Amen.
God invited a small group of closest companions to join for breakfast on a beach. And they mostly did not recognize the risen one who was inviting and sharing the meal. They didn't know how to ask questions. They weren't brave. Couldn't find the strength, courage, wisdom as they broke bread. Yet the intimacy of this small gathering shaped them. And their story of this encounter with the risen one in the breaking of the bread shapes us. We, like them, mostly don't recognize the risen one who's inviting us to a resurrection breakfast each day. So we pause with followers of the way throughout the world, recognizing that we all fall short of practicing resurrection because we stumble with the art of gathering, falling back onto the old ways that we've known instead of finding that courage and wisdom to lean in. And so we invite us now to turn together with one voice and to pray what the church calls a prayer of confession. So I invite those of us that are gathered here in person to stand as you're willing and able, and those gathered online to just pause. This may be a moment to light a candle as we prepare our hearts and minds to share in the feast at God's table. So let us join our voices together in prayer. God, who calls us to practice resurrection through the art of gathering together, you know the recipe for a resurrection breakfast. You send us out to feed your sheep, yet we fail to recognize you, and we want all to be fed, but we struggle to feed the ones right around us. Forgive us, we pray.
The risen one sends us forth to tend Jesus' sheep and welcome us to breakfast on the beach. It may sound like too much to bear, but the risen one does welcome all by closing doors to welcome you and you and you and you, just like you are, exactly like you are right now. And in welcoming you through forgiveness and through peace, you are now freed to welcome one more. And one more, and then another, yeah? So may we start here this day with God's forgiveness for each one of us. May we shout, amen.
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 And I invite us to join together in the call and response that has been the way of recognizing the presence of God's peace in each neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God, the sculptor, the creator, the painter, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks into the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings began to make waves in the water. And God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." When everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self, and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining." you and everything around you, my beloved creation, all of this is good. But it wasn't good for long. God's people started to lose the sense of purpose for what they were doing. They longed for all to be all, but couldn't see God's presence in the one right before them. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out justice and compassion and hope and humility and placed it in a form that people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind you and all of us to abide in God's love as Jesus abides in God's unfolding grace.
Holy, holy.
Did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other, but we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it and we became afraid. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was just too great. The principalities and powers which lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus made it difficult. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises us that he would never leave us alone, but he will come back and take us home with him. And like those long ago friends, we don't always understand how God's love prevails, or the message that Jesus brings to us, or what his coming and going or coming again means to us. But we can be grateful, and we can sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both, and he gave thanks to God and said, I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather in remembrance of me. Us into prayer with the words that Jesus taught his long ago companions. They have been passed down through the ages to one another, to the church, where they have been shaped and loved. And they are named now the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to call God in the deepest way that is true for you in your heart. So let's pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and spread throughout many places. Pour your Spirit on the gifts which are before us. Make these gifts for us the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, Christ's love alive in the world. Amen.
You may be seated. For those of our friends online, you are encouraged to bring close to you your bread and your juice in the space in which you are gathering. Everyone is welcome at God's table. And what we want to make sure people know that are here in this room is that we are going to continue for the time being sharing God's feast out of doors. And Avery will help us by coming down the center aisle and directing you by the pews out this door. There are signs to help you get back to that door and come back in the sanctuary. We encourage and invite you to take time in prayer at any of our prayer stations around the perimeter, as well as staying in your pew. We want you to remember that outside there is bread that was baked for us by the Morrison family. There are also crackers that don't have gluten in them there. And in the cup is juice, not wine. So we just want to make sure folks know that, right? And in all of these things, as we make these dance moves with God, right? We're in God's divine dance. You can't make a wrong step. You can't make a mistake. So just breathe in, breathe out, and watch over one another.
Friends, this is the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you and the cup of God's love poured for all.
Thank you.
Loving God, we give thanks for this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you are revealed to creation, revealed in the intimacy and the vulnerability and the power of breaking bread. So may we hear your call and move ever deeper into your heart for the world. Amen. We want to encourage you to continue responding as we just have by coming to the table to God's love. And we do that in many ways here at the table. One of those ways is by giving generously of our resources. We can do that online through texting to give. You may give to support our ministries here at the table. And then also we'll be finishing up our Easter offering soon. All of our Easter offering will go to support our neighbors experiencing food insecurity through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Bank, and so Food Closet. And so you can go on our website and you can just denote Easter there if you would like to make a gift to support that really important ministry in this moment and in this time. I want to extend a couple of other invitations outside at the Next Steps table for those of us that are here in person. Avery would love to meet with you to help you hear more about what's going on with our hospitality team. This is such a welcoming place in part because people arrive early in the morning to set this place up and make this the space that it is so that we can be together in worship. And we would love to have your help with that practice of hospitality. You can find more at the table outside. If you're ready to connect with others, we would commend you. Join us for the upcoming Growing in Faith series if you haven't yet done that in May. We also will be gathering, as Ansel shared earlier, at Salon Conversations. So you can sign up today to participate in one of those, and you can learn more about the purpose of that on our website and find one that might work for you. We are going to keep moving now. We're going to be sent out by our musicians. This is the song that's been on my playlist for the last few days, and so I hope now it might join your playlist. This is our music team sharing Fear Not. I invite you to stand.
Fear not.
put that on my playlist because it makes me cry, and then I can't see where I'm driving. I like India Ari, who looks within. And that's because it can be so challenging to close certain doors. So some of us need to hear "Fear Not," and some of us need to look within. But truly, truly, closing some doors gives way to community, which is rooted in God's grace. Look around, growing in faith, reaching in love, and being generous, generous givers. So go in peace, doing all of the things.